God bless you. Let's turn to the Word of God here this morning. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Last Sunday morning I started the first of a four message series, and I believe it's dynamically vital. It's so important. If you missed last week, you must hear last week in order to understand this morning and the two coming weeks. Four messages on four different types of hearers. As we read in Matthew 13, my message this morning, the stony ground hearer, or someone who hears the Word of God, our series over these weeks is how to hear the Word of God. Very few people have learnt the skill of hearing God's Word. Lots are seeking to hear voices or to hear some miraculous intervention of an angel or a prophecy or a dream or a revelation or a vision. I want to tell you, Jesus taught us how to listen to the Word of God. He gave these messages, these parables, so that we would learn how to sit in a gathering, how to sit in a meeting, and how to really receive the Word of God in a way that affects our heart. And I want to show you, all over the church, people are running looking prophecies. They're talking about the dreams and visions they had last night. Where are those who are sitting, rejoicing in the preaching of the Word, that they see more than a preacher, more than a man, more than a sermon? They're actually saying, I've learned how to hear from heaven through the preaching of the Word. Here this morning, the stony ground hearer. Last week we dealt with the wayside hearer, but this morning the stony ground hearer. Matthew 13, reading from verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And in verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Then down to verse 20 with me here this morning. And it says, but he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but he dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Let's pray together. Here, Father, I do thank you for the Word of God, the truth of God. Lord God, there's a way to hear your Word that is not merely with the outward ear, nor God, or even with our natural human mind. There's a way to hear your Word with our inward spirit, with the inward man of the heart. There's a way to listen in such a way that we hear directly from the throne of God, directly from the Spirit of God. Father, I can only speak to the ear, but it's you from on high, from your throne, and it speaks into every heart, into every mind. You know the soil in this room. You know the condition of every heart. Lord God, you know how to save individuals in this room. Lord God, and I am here scattering the seed, the good seed of your word, and I do pray that you move upon the hearts, turning over the soil in repentance and conviction of sin, dealing with men, that the seed may drop into their heart and that their lives might be radically changed. We believe in the power of your gospel to save, to change, to create a new creature. And Lord God, we are asking that men and women, Lord God, they'd set their hearts aright. Lord God, that they might hear from the Spirit of God. Lord God, speak to us and change us. In the name of Jesus, amen. My message here this morning, the stony ground hearer. We began last week to deal with four types of ground. This is usually called the parable of the sower and the seed. That's usually what you hear. That's what you read about. If you Google it, they'll call it the parable of the sower and the seed. I want to tell you, it's not a parable about the sower. We read very little about him. What we do read is that he carried the seed and he scattered it everywhere. Many call it the parable of the seed. It's not a parable about the seed. We're not told about the seed. We simply hear that the seed is the word of God. The sower is Christ. Or the preacher preaching to you this morning, or whenever you hear a message preached, that is the sower who scatters the seed of God's word. But it's not about the sower. It's not about the seed of God. Saints, do you realize that in Jesus' day, Paul's day, Peter's day, and through all the great preaching of history right down to this room this morning, it's not great preaching that changes lives.
Yes.
It is not even the truth of God's word. It is not even who the sower is or how easily they explain it. Do you realize it's the ground, it's the heart, it's how somebody approaches God or how they come to hear the word of God? You have two people in every meeting sitting side by side. One gets changed and affected. The other one is totally untouched. The same preacher, the same preaching, the same word, the same Holy Spirit is there. Why does one get affected and the other doesn't? We need to ask ourselves this. And this parable that Jesus gave, what's a parable? It's a natural earthly story with a heavenly spiritual meaning. It's a natural story that Jesus tells to illustrate a spiritual truth. And this story of the sower, the seed, and the soil is actually a parable to show you how to hear God's word, how to listen to the word of God, how to listen to preaching in a way that affects you. Do you realize there were thousands, if not tens of thousands, sat under Christ preaching and teaching? They had miracles performed before them. Their bodies were healed. They were filled with joy. They clapped their hands. They followed him and said, "We're disciples of Christ." Yet their life was never changed. There were tens and tens of thousands, whole towns, villages and cities were changed in a short time, very quickly. And yet at the end of Christ's ministry, the most he can get to an upper room is 120 disciples. After 3.5 years of ministry, thousands were healed. Thousands were affected. Saints, it's not the preacher. It's actually your heart. And you know what? There's reasons if you're here and not saved this morning. I want to assure you, don't point at God. Don't point at the preacher. I've tried my best, okay? I've done everything apart from stand on my head to get you saved. This parable reveals only 3 of the 4 hearts receive God's word in a way that saves them. Last week we dealt with the wayside here, the type of person who hears the word of God. But the ground of their heart, the soil represents each heart. There's 4 types, but only one of them really gets born again. The wayside hearer is where the ground has had so many people walk over the ground, it's become a hard pathway. It's become like cement. It reveals a certain type of heart or certain type of person who comes to hear preaching. They hear the word of God, but they do not hear it. They hear it with the ear, with the mind, but not with the heart in a way that changes them. There's a lot of traffic has walked down their pathway. They have not plowed the ground of their heart. The ground, the hard heart, the hard ground has not been plowed. That is your responsibility. You're to break up that ground, ready to receive the preaching. What happened to that wayside here? The seed of the word fell on the hard ground, and it sat there. Little seeds sat there on this hard ground, on the surface, just sitting there. It wasn't received into the heart. They did not understand what they heard. And then after they leave sermons or leave messages and preaching, we read again about the wayside here, that here comes many other people walking over the soil of their heart, and they trample down that precious seed that could change their life. Here comes people with their ideas and opinions, and they talk you out of the Word of God. They actually begin to make you think it's of no consequence. We also saw that immediately, with the wayside here, after they hear preaching, immediately the fowls of the air come, demon spirits. The devil immediately comes to steal God's word from your heart. I wonder if anyone got the word of God stolen last Sunday morning. Because the devil comes immediately. And if you haven't done something with the Word of God and received it into your heart, the devil comes along and says, thank you very much. I will take that, and destroys the seed of God's Word. Why? He knows it can save you and change your life and make you holy like Christ. That's why the devil comes to steal it. This sort of person still goes and hears the preaching of the Word. They love it, they enjoy it, they keep doing it. But do you know what? All they leave the church with is stories. When they leave preaching at the end of the day, they don't even realize what they're hearing. They're left with nice stories that do not change their life. But this week I want to deal with a different type of heart. That was the wayside hearer. But here this morning, I want to deal with the stony ground hearer. This is a type of sinner who hears the word but doesn't get saved. I'm going to explain to you why they don't get saved. But since it's for all of us, every Christian can be the same of having a stony ground wondering why nothing happens in their life. It's primarily for sinners. Jesus gave this for sinners, but it's for us all to learn how do we listen to preaching in a way that changes our life. Please note with me here in Matthew 13, and you find the same parable in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. And we're going to join all of these chapters together and verses to reveal something. God is saying, I want you to know how to hear from me through a preacher. Since I'm flesh and blood, I am a man. But if you think this is only a man bringing sermons to a church service every week, you're terribly mistaken. God uses the preaching of the word. He has ordained it. He has chosen it. All through church history, all through the Bible, the Gospels, and the book of Acts, He has chosen the preaching of the word of God. Singularly. Not mimes. Not testimonies. Not fancy stories. Not worship music. He has chosen the preaching of the word to save souls. And do you know what? In this generation, real preaching has been stolen from the church. Why? It'll change your life. It can mold your life. It can affect your marriage, your entire family. It's a powerful thing. But notice here, in Matthew 13, with this ground in verse 5, it says, some of the seed fell upon stony ground. This second type of person who hears preaching, the soil of his heart, it's called stony places. This is the condition of his inward heart. This is how he comes to hear God's word. In Mark, we actually read it's called stony ground. And then in Luke, it's called a rock. So we see the seed of God's word. The sower is okay. The seed is okay. But the seed is falling on an area where there's soil. But underneath that soil is hard ground or stony ground. Notice with me here what happens to it. It says that when this seed falls into this ground, and notice with me when you look at this ground, it looks like good ground. It looks like all the other ground. If you looked with it at the naked eye, you don't see what's underneath it. All you see is good soil. And as you look at it, you go, this soil is ready for the seed of God's word. It's plowed. It looks ready. And it says that when the seed goes into this ground, it springs up immediately. As soon as it goes into the ground, very quickly. It's a very quick work that happens. You know what springing up means? It's to germinate. The seed goes into the ground and the condition of that soil, immediately the seed begins to germinate. All the conditions are right for it to germinate. And it happens immediately, not slowly or progressively. It is a remarkable and dynamic thing. It instantaneously begins to grow. You see immediate growth, immediate response, immediate change. It's miraculous how quickly it happens. But notice with this ground in the parable, in the story, it's an abnormal growth. It's not natural. It may excite you as a farmer to go, look at all this seed coming up immediately, all over my field, all of this beautiful growth. It's immediate. It's supernatural. And today's church will say, this is God. I mean, look at it. It's an immediate, miraculous crop. Surely this is the Holy Spirit. But there's something wrong. Let's look at this closer. It's not natural growth. It's abnormal growth. Its roots begin to grow. But you know what happens just below the soil? Is rock and hard stone, a massive bit of hard stone. The soil is very thin. You can't see this from the outside. You can only see it if you're inside. And as the seed germinates and its roots begin to go down, they hit the rock and immediately spring up. It's abnormal growth. It's not proper healthy growth. The work is reversed. It seems immediate. It seems miraculous. It seems healthy. But very quickly the roots turn direction and begin growing up and begin sticking through the thin soil. And the sun begins to shine on them. In this parable, Christ actually says the sun scorched them. That means to burn them. See, as the sun rose in the day sky, it seemed okay in the morning. Everything was fine in the morning. As the sun shined down, the farmer's going, man, that's my best ground. This is the best ground of my field. But see, later, as the sun begins to burn hot, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, that hot sun begins to burn those shoots or those seeds that are sprouting up. Something goes wrong with it. Christ actually says they begin to wither. They begin to dry up. They begin to shrivel up. They begin to waste away. And by the time the sun is ready to set, it's all dead, it's all gone. There was so much hope in this area of ground. There was so much expectation. The farmer was rejoicing in the morning, but by late afternoon, he's going, it's a failed crop on that ground. The ground was not right. Something was happening that I could not see. I had such an expectation. Saints, are you like that in your life, in your own heart? In your own walk with God, have you found that your heart is a stony place? It held so much hope, but everything, all the preaching has died, been destroyed. The word of God seemed to produce something, and now it's all gone, it's perished. Whether you're a sinner who at times had a high expectation saying, I believe God's going to change me now, and it seems to have gone. There's a reason, and you can change that. The work seemed to be reversed. Or are you a Christian here this morning? And you're hearing the word of God. You love the word of God. You are truly born again. You once listened to the word of God and it affected you. Now everything seems to die. It comes to nothing. You keep getting a harvest that dies. It's time to ask yourself, why is that? You're a fool if you keep carrying on the same. Either as a sinner or a saint, listening to preaching, hoping something will happen. It's the ground of your heart. It's the soil of your heart. Something has to happen there. Then you'll get saved. Don't keep coming, hoping Keith is going to preach a miracle message or drop a miracle seed from heaven. It's not going to happen. Saints, it doesn't take great preaching to change you. It's the preparation of the soil of your heart. Let me point out to you four things about the stony ground hearer, or this type of person who comes to hear the preaching of the word. First of all, it sprung up immediately. I'm going to give you four S's, okay, to keep in your mind. It sprung up immediately. In Matthew 3:20, Jesus interprets this parable. And he says, this person are those who hear the word of God. They're in church, they're hearing, they're listening. They are affected by it. They're actually eagerly, they're sitting on the edge of their seat. They're trying to listen carefully. They want to get the message. They want to hear what the preacher's saying. They want to be affected. They want to be changed. They want to hear what God is saying to them. It says they hear the word. And anon, that means quickly or readily with an open heart. Anon, an old English word. With joy they receive it. Look at this person. One of the four types of people who listen to preaching. They immediately receive it quickly, readily, instantaneously. They hear the word of God and say, I believe. And it says they receive God's word, the gospel, the preaching, the teaching of God's word. They receive it with joy or with gladness or real delight. They're not against the word. You're not having to persuade them. They're not attacking. They're not challenging. They're not saying, I don't believe that. They're actually saying, I believe this. I'm so glad to have heard this. I'm so glad to have come into this church. I'm so glad to sit under the word of God. Notice this type of person. Don't they look so hopeful? Immediate emotion. What's the response to the gospel? Immediate emotion and passion or fire. They're affected. They're an emotional hearer. They're an enthusiastic hearer. There's somebody who wants to hear the word of God. They're glad to hear the word of God. They give every outward appearance of having listened to the word and received the word. Look at their feelings are all stirred and affected. Their mind seems attentive. Initially, they receive the word of God. It is obvious. We all see it. If you ever see this type of person, all of us are going to see this. This person instantly receives the word. It is obvious and it is outward. You can see it with the eye. The farmer says, this is good ground. Look at the harvest. Look at the response. Look at how receptive it is. This soil is ready for the seed of God's word. It is a surprising response. You meet someone, a sinner who comes in and hears the word of God. It is a surprising and an encouraging response from them. It's remarkable how easily they receive. And it is noticeable. It's miraculous. But it's short term. It's rapid growth, but it's short term growth. You see, this is the first thing about this person. They spring up immediately. There's a certain type of person who hears the gospel. They spring up immediately with gladness and say, I believe. And everybody calls them a Christian and says, what a Christian they are. And they get baptized and received into the church and everybody gets to know them and they want to serve God. And then something goes wrong in their life and they don't know what's wrong with them. They're not living like a Christian. They don't act like a Christian. But everybody thinks they're a Christian. You know what? They must be born again, but they don't realize it. They were a stony ground hearer. And yet who would call this type of person a stony ground hearer? They grow immediately. They receive it. They're glad. They're rejoicing. I tell you, they're telling you how much they are glad for the word of God. Look at this person. The earth or the soil of their heart seems soft. It seems well prepared. It seems to be open. It easily receives the word of God without opposition. It is easily impressed with our preaching and our teaching and our testimonies. There is little need of argument with this person or to convince them of what they know to be true. They are immediately on board LCC. They're saying, let's do it. And saints, that type of person can impress us all. And you can have other people sitting who aren't saved yet saying, man, why doesn't that happen to me? Why is it a struggle? Why am I trying to deal with my heart? Why is there such a wrestling with the devil? Be very careful that you're not looking at a stony ground here, but you'd never think that. Secondly, not only does it spring up immediately, secondly, it is shallow earth. Notice this with me. And you're going to see in this point things that it doesn't have. It's shallow earth. It's not deep earth, but you can't see that. It looks like good deep earth. And the results are good, but it's thin, shallow earth. It says in Hebrews 6 and 9 about things that accompany salvation. Do you realize there's things that accompany that go with salvation? If someone's really saved, there's certain things you ought to look for. If those things aren't there, they're not saved. It's not those things that save us, but if you're saved, those things will be there. This person who has shallow earth, they're lacking certain things. There's certain things not there. Oh yes, the gladness, the rejoicing, this open heart seems so wonderful, but there's certain important things they do not have. You see, we're saved by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. Let me say that again. We are saved by faith alone, not by works, not doing all the right things. You're saved by faith, instantaneous. But believe me, it's not a faith that is alone. There are good works, there are fruit. There are things that follow or accompany it. Notice with me in this shallow earth, in Matthew 13 and 5. And Jesus says, because they had no deepness of earth. Notice that, because. Because what? Look at what's previous that. Why did it grow up quickly? Why did they receive with great joy? Why were they so ready to respond? Why is it that they're wide open? Because they had no deepness of earth. You see, we look at this response and say, amazing, this is the real. Jesus said they responded so quickly, so readily, so happily. Yeah. They must have jumped in the first meeting they were in. This person responds, why do they respond like this? It's because there's no deepness of earth. There's very little soil there. Brother Clendenin used to often say, he said, you know, when you have a conference and a guest speaker and you're looking to see your church revived and that man comes in and preaches and he said, there's these ones, they're never there at church. They're never faithful. They don't do anything for God. They don't give to God. You can hardly get them to meetings and they come in and they're the first speaking in tongues, prophesying, jumping, weeping. And see those in the back row, those who are in every meeting, those who are faithful to God, those who walk through the trials, it takes them about 3 days. And he said that used to puzzle him until he realized, you know those other folk, they're like thimbles. I tell you, you get an eye hopper and you squeeze in them, they're full. But those other ones, they're larger, they've got a greater capacity. It takes more days to get through to God. Where's those other ones? There's a little move of the Holy Spirit. Man, they're weeping. They've got their hands up. They're going, there's revival. I've seen it, saints. But they're the first that are gone. They really are. We're dealing with the shallow earth. There is no deepness. In fact, this is what can cause their impressive response. No depth. They're shallow. This shallowness. This shallowness caught the early heat of the morning. See, they look good in the morning, not in the afternoon, not by evening time. It's in the morning time as the sun begins to rise. You see, the sun does affect them. They easily receive the heat of the sun. They easily receive the seed. They easily respond to it. There's easy growth initially. But something begins to happen with them. It was a quick germination. This quick visible work is actually a deception. Something hidden and unexplained is happening below the earth that you can't see with the eye. Underneath the soft receptive soil is hard, thick, solid rock that no seed can penetrate, no preaching can touch, no preacher on the face of the earth could change that hard rock. And there's only a thin layer of soil on top. If the soil is the heart, and it is, the soil is your heart, the condition of your heart. What is the rock? The rock is the unchanged nature, the old Adamic nature. It's never been changed. You see, this seed of the word cannot grow into the hard rock of the old flesh. Your flesh doesn't get changed. God changes hearts, not flesh. Your flesh needs crucified. The seed of God's word doesn't grow into the flesh or the old Adamic nature and change it. It doesn't. God changes the heart of man. See, as the heat comes down on the soil, it's shallow, and that's why it grows so quickly. But it's that unchanged nature. Notice in Mark chapter 4:17, he says, and a second thing, not only does it not have any depth, you know what a shallow person is. You know what a shallow person is, you talk to him, there's nothing there. They're all talk, it's all outward, there's no depth. Even their Christianity, they can talk all about it, but when it really comes to it, there's nothing there. They can talk about revival, they can talk about the testimonies of Smith Wigglesworth, they can talk about all sorts of, do you know the Holy Spirit? But they're not there in the morning. You see, something happens to them. Not only are they shallow, but in Mark 4:17, it says they have no root in themselves. They've got no depth. Neither do they have any root in themselves. All their growth is outward, not inward. It's above the ground, not below the ground. Everything that you see is all that they have. What you see, there's nothing else below the surface. Saints, we ought to have more of a spiritual work in the heart than is even manifest. We ought to be larger on the inside than we are the outside. Do you know often what's on the outside is a signpost to show there's nothing on the inside. It's all outward, it's all talk, it's all proclamation. But there's nothing inwardly. I would rather have a quiet person. You know, I had someone here several times that said, that person, are you sure they're saved? Because they're very quiet, aren't they? Or they don't say much, or they don't get excited. That person isn't here this morning.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
That person thought their exuberance was a sign of reality.
Yeah.
It's not. And if you judge things like that, you'll make serious mistakes. I would rather to have someone with deep roots in Christ. How do you know you've got deep roots? You're still here. The trials have come. The troubles have come. The temptations have come. The thoughts have come. The feelings have come. The devil has come. You're still here this morning. Where are your roots? Are your roots in Christ? This particular hearer had no roots. They listened to preaching. They rejoiced in the preaching, but they had no roots. They clapped their hands. They skipped. They rejoiced. They shouted. But there's no roots deep within their heart. Or in Luke, there's another thing that's missing. Luke 8 verse 6. It says that they lacked moisture. So they lacked depth. They lacked roots. Now they lack moisture.
Yeah.
Do you realize there was moisture there? They had to have moisture in the morning. They had to have sun to grow.
Yeah.
There was moisture to cause germination. But because they're so thin, any moisture they gain is gone by lunchtime.
Yeah.
It evaporates with the heat. That shallowness makes them grow quickly, grow instantly. But by lunchtime, all the moisture is gone. What does the moisture represent? It represents the Word of God, the water of the Word of God that makes the seed to grow. You see, all that water is evaporated, and it's all outward rejoicing. You know, some people are rejoicing over the preaching, what God's doing. What did the preacher say? I don't know, but it made me happy. You know, people come to church and they walk in here and go, man, I feel so much better having been here. Some don't. It's better that you don't, I assure you. And they come in and say, I feel so at peace. I just feel so good in here. That worries me.
Yeah.
It does. Because you know what? They go back out and they don't carry it with them. It's not a part of their life. The moisture evaporates. They come in here. They enjoy this environment. It's good for a moment. But really, when the sun shines, it evaporates. It's gone.
Yeah.
Where did the word of God go? It's gone. They grow quickly, but they disappear quickly. Number three, another S, short endurance. They sprung up immediately. They're shallow earth, but they're short endurance. In Matthew 13 and 21, this is what we read. Jesus said, they dureth for a while. They dureth for a while. Or Mark says, they endure but for a time.
Yeah.
What is endurance? Stickability. Yeah. You're there in the morning. You're going to be there in 6 months' time. You're going to be here still in a year unless God sends you somewhere. You're going to be here in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years should the Lord tarry. It's the ability to stick through the trials, come what may. You see, Jesus said about this type of here, they are shouting, rejoicing over the word. They love the word of God. They believe the word of God. But they only endure for a season, a short period of time. How long is a season? We have four seasons in a year, don't we?
Yeah.
A season is a short period of time. And we get four seasons in a year. Man, they're on fire for 3 months. And then where are they? Gone. They're gone. Man, in that 3 months, I thought they were going to save everybody, bring revival, and be the only real Christian on the face of the earth. But that fourth month is going to reveal who they are, what they are, and did they hear anything this preacher said? Do you hear me? They endure for a while and a season. In fact, they're so dynamic, they make the other Christians think, are they saved? But after a short season, everything gets revealed for what it is. It says in Luke, these are they which for a while believe. They endure for a while. They believe for a while. In other words, their faith, their confidence in God, their dependence in God, their belief of the word of God, their belief in the blood of Jesus, their faith that God has saved them. It's going to come to an end. After the short season of radical, joyous belief, they say, we believe for a short time. It actually only continues for a short time. Their faith seems so strong, but it's shallow. There's no roots to their faith. There's no substance to their faith. There's no ability to endure. And saints, let me tell you what true faith looks like. It endures to the end. It goes through many things for the sake of Christ. You remember in John chapter 2 at the end of it, Jesus said there were those who believed on him. Multitudes, they believed. When they saw the miracles, they believed on Christ. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't most? And it says, but Christ did not believe in them. He did not commit himself to them. Why?
Yeah.
Because he knew what was in their heart. Listen to me. He knew that they were stony ground hearers. The soil wasn't right. So he didn't commit himself. He said, they're believing because of the miracles. They're believing because they got happy in a meeting. They're believing because they're enjoying all of this. But you know what? Jesus does not save them. They believe in him, but he does not believe in them. It also says in John 2 that the disciples who followed him, they believed on him because of the word. These others believed because of the miracles. You know, in John 3, you have Nicodemus, who Jesus said, you must be born again. Do you realize it's another 3 years before he gets born again? He comes with questions. Jesus is challenging him. But it's actually another 3 years before actually that gets dealt with. Since I'm telling you what's happened all through the Bible. In Acts chapter 8 we have Simon the sorcerer. Do Do you remember him? He dabbled in the occult realm, in the New Age movement. He had great occultic power that affected a whole community. And he believed in Christ. When he saw Philip, when he heard the preaching, he said, I believe. And it says he believed in the Lord. He was then baptized in water. But within a short period of time, it wasn't a year, it wasn't long, it was only a season. Here is Simon the sorcerer. He sees Peter and John laying hands on those to receive the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues. And he goes to Peter, here's all the money I have. If I give you this money, will you give me this power? You know what Peter says? I discern, I can see where your heart is. You're still in the bond of iniquity. You're on your way to hell. In fact, and I don't like other Bible translations, but I do like it here. Peter said, to hell with you and your money. Amen. That's what he said. He said, you're trying to buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. That reveals your heart's not right. There's something wrong with you when you're trying to buy the Holy Ghost or use money to use God. You get a lot of it in ministry, you know.
Yeah.
They're in it, and they're using the Holy Spirit, knocking people over, prophesying them. It's all about money. That's the entirety. Notice here that Simon the sorcerer endured for a time until his heart was exposed. He was a stony ground here. But you know what? Philip didn't discern it. He said, man, this guy believes. He's sitting in the front seat. In fact, it said in Acts 8 that everywhere you've seen Philip the evangelist, there was Simon with him, followed him around, preaching everywhere. And where you've seen one, you've seen the other. You go, man, Simon's going to become a preacher. Man, Simon's on fire. Simon is receiving everything Philip is preaching. No, he's a false convert. The Bible says he believed, but there's no fruit. There's no root. There's no moisture. There's no depth. There's no real growth. All of it is temporary. It seems like growth, but it goes in a short while. But listen, a true faith produced by the Word of God will endure to the end. It will be strengthened, and listen this carefully, through trials. When the sun rises up, it's actually going to be better after the burning of the sun. It will be revealed by the testing of the sun. Whether you have real faith in this room or counterfeit faith, whether you're a real Christian or a false Christian, whether you're just a hearer of the word, but you don't hear with the heart, it's going to be revealed when the sun comes up. The sun reveals everything of what you are. Since the sun is hard on all of us, I assure you, for this preacher it is. Do you know the old Christians used to preach, the old preachers used to preach a doctrine. They called it the perseverance of the saints. In other words, a real Christian will persevere.
Right.
They're going to keep walking.
Right.
They're going to go through the trials, through the troubles. When they fall down, they'll pick themselves up. If they sin, they're going to repent and go back to the blood. If they mess up, they'll go and put it right. But they're going to be found here walking, going through with God. They continue, they persevere, they keep their eyes on Jesus, they get up again.
Yeah.
Let me give you a fourth S. First of all, we had they sprung up immediately. Then, there's shallow earth. Thirdly, short endurance. But my last point, a sad end. A sad end. Such hope at the beginning. So amazing at the beginning. But after a short season, so disappointing. Jesus said in Matthew 13:6, when the sun was up, they were scorched. Not until the sun comes up. You don't see it until the sun rises.
Yeah.
And it says they were scorched. That means burnt. And they withered away, they shriveled up, and you can't even see anything. There is nothing left of the effect of God's word in their life. After the sun scorches them, it seems like they never heard the preaching of the word. Sun is good if there is depth, if there is roots in your life. If the sun shines on you, and it shines on all of us, the good, the bad, the ugly, the same sun shines. The same sun burns. Okay? But the difference is, if you have depth of soil, you're fine. If you have roots under the earth, you'll be okay. But not this person. What is the sun? What does it represent? Matthew 13:21. It says, when tribulation or persecution, that's the sun. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now notice with the sad end of this person, they gladly received the word, they received it, they began to grow, they rejoiced in it, they ran with it, they were enthusiastic, they were emotional. But when the sun begins to burn, something happens. What's tribulation? It's pressure, burden, affliction, trouble, distress. We're going to see what you are. Are you a real Christian? Did you hear the preaching? When tribulation comes, all the pressure of this world, all the trouble, because of the word of God, because of what you believed and made you happy. Oh, you were glad. The word of God made you glad. Then when others start to bring tribulation to you because of the word, and troubles come to you because of the word of God, now you're ready to accuse the word of God, and accuse God, and accuse the church, and accuse others. It also says when persecution comes, that means for someone to chase you, to pursue after you, to follow you, to target you. I'm talking about someone who seems to be a Christian for a short time, 3-4 months. And they were very glad, and they were growing very well, so it seemed. But all of a sudden, persecution comes because of the word. They're getting targeted. They're getting harassed because of what they believe. They're actually being troubled, molested. There's hostility. They're being attacked because of the word. Do you know what they do? It says immediately they become offended. Immediately they believed. Now immediately they're offended. The word offended is the Greek word scandalizo. It means to be scandalized, to stumble, to trip up on something, to fall over something. The cross is a scandal. That's what the Bible says. Paul said it. He said the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the real cross, it'll bring a scandal into your life. Everyone will talk about you. And there'll be persecution. And somebody's going to hate you because of the preaching. Man, I was so happy about his preaching until now. You see, the sun begins to burn. Tribulation, persecution. We're going to find out if you've got endurance, if you've got any roots, if you've got any substance, any depth. Is there any reality, or is it all sham? Is it all going to wither overnight? It says this person got offended. When you see someone in the church get offended and walk off from God, nobody told me. This preacher told you from the beginning. Isn't that right? I told you, expect tribulation at the very beginning you get in. You're going to be hated of all men. I told you at the beginning. But certain people, when it happens, they say, oh, I understand that. They told me. Since I've been told this so many times. Oh, yeah. I'll pay any price. I'll go anywhere for Jesus. I'll never turn away from Christ. But when it comes, they get offended with the word of God. The word that made them happy now offends them. They fall over it. They trip over it. They actually apostatize or turn away from it. And Luke, it actually talks about the time of temptation or trial. Not only tribulation and persecution, but the son is temptation or trial. That word temptation means putting to the proof. You're being tried. You're in a trial to see if it's real, the faith you have. You're being scrutinized. You're being examined. The sun is shining on you. We're going to find out what is the quality of your Christianity and of your faith and of your following Christ and of your sinner's prayer. Your sinner's prayer is going to be burnt away by a hot sun if that's all you have. You see, you're going to be tempted through this hot sun. And what happens? It says in Luke, he falls away. He withdraws, he departs, he separates himself. That's what the word means. He separates himself from Christ, the Word of God, and the church. It means to revolt or to become a rebel against the Word that only a short time ago you were rejoicing in. You were so glad. You were so happy about. But now you're rebelling against the very same truth. Notice this type of person. They're reacting against walking straight, standing straight, and being established. They never counted the cost at the beginning. They thought they did. All of us thought they did. But they never really counted the cross. They never said, when that hot sun shines down on me, when it begins to burn upon me at 2 in the afternoon, I'm still going to follow Christ. Oh yes, they said that with their lips. They didn't mean it. As soon as the temptations come, they're back on the beer, back to the drugs, back to their immoral sexual life. They're back to their statues, back to crossing themselves. They're back to their atheism, and they begin to study evolution again, or some other religion. That's what they're like. They never truly counted the cross. At this point, there's no trace left. No remains of the effect and the power of the preaching that they once rejoiced in. You remember Pilgrim's Progress, written some 400 years ago. And right at the beginning of the journey, when Christian is setting on his journey, looking for the celestial city, and he's got his burden of sin on his back. That great rucksack of sin, that burden. And do you know what he feels as sin? He's reading the Bible and he goes, I can feel my sin. It's such a terrible burden. And do you know what? God's wrath is going to come down on my family and my city. I want to find the celestial city, the city of God. And he meets a friend along the way. His friend is called Pliable. Do you know what the word pliable means? Easily moved. It's this type of person who easily receives the word of God. Pliable started talking to Christian and he says, where are you going? I'm going to the celestial city. Are you sure it's real? Yes, it's real. Are you sure we can trust it? Yes. He said, I'm going too. I'm joining you. Let's go together. And they begin to walk along talking about heaven, talking about God, talking about spiritual things. But do you know what? Pliable has no burden of sin. He doesn't on his back. Christian does. And it says that as they went along, they both fell into the slough of despond, or the swamp of despair. Both of them fell in. And Pliable starts speaking to Christian. He's saying, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? Is this the celestial city? I'm in despair. This quagmire, I'm covered in muck. Look at me, I can hardly get out. You promised me streets of gold. You told me about a king who's a prince of peace. And here we are in the slough of despond and we're sinking. And you know what John Bunyan writes? He says, Pliable got offended. He got offended and he got angry with Christian. He got angry with the gospel. He got angry at the slough and he said, there's nothing to your gospel. And he dragged himself out and Christian said, help me. He said, help yourself. And you know what? Pliable's house was very close. It means he didn't travel very far. It's very close to the slough of despond. And there's Christian crying out, help me. Help me. Here comes evangelist. An evangelist reaches down, helps him, said, I told you to stay on the track.
Yes.
You wouldn't have got in this. He said, just keep going this direction. Yeah. Keep walking and you'll get to the cross. You'll get born again. You'll get really saved. Don't get discouraged on the way. Don't be like the hard ground here. In 1 John, John the apostle of love, he writes, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. In other words, they weren't manifest before. It was only when they went out. Now you go. They were not all of us. They enjoyed the same sermons. They rejoiced. They fellowship with us. But there's many who go back to their old sin. They never truly were converted. They only endured for a time. Let me close with this, saints. In 2011, while Candace and me were in South Africa on a short holiday, a short break, and her father was still alive, and he knew his days were numbered, he wanted to take us on a little break. He took us out to a place where we stayed, and there was large mountains there, the Drakensberg Mountains, range of mountains, a large range of mountains. I didn't know till later, and I wish I had known. Drakensberg means mountains of dragons. I didn't know that. But before the end of the walk, I did know, I can assure you. We were staying there, it was beautiful, the sun's out. We're looking at the mountains surrounding us. And it was springtime. So we decided to sign up for a one-day walk up one of those mountains. That's what we signed up for. We said, this will be great fun. We're going to enjoy it. And look, it's probably this nearest mountain. So we put our names down for the walk and said, yeah, we'll spend the day hiking, enjoying the sun, enjoying the weather and the mountains. It's going to be beautiful. When we arrived the next morning, was it 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock? 5 o'clock. The tall Zulu guide. I looked up at him. He's a tall man. 6'5", maybe 7, and he's built like a tank. Not fat, built like a tank. And as we're there, he looks down at my shoes, and he says, are you wearing those? They're slippers, hard slippers. I said, yes. He says, do you have anything else? No. He asked me, not her, okay? And I thought, uh-oh, that's bad. We then found out we're not doing one mountain. We're doing all five, and they're called the Big Five. The hike was going to be 17 kilometers. Five peaks. And he gave me an opportunity. Are you sure you want to go? Yes. I thought, am I making that big Zulu know something that I don't know? So we begin to climb. About 10 minutes out, Candace's her two nice boots that looked okay, the sole of one started to come off. In fact, I think we're 5 minutes into it. Oh no, what a pair of boots. We've got 17 kilometers to walk. I think that's about 13 miles or something, 14 miles. We look at her boots. Again, the big Zulu says, are you sure? Do you have other boots? No, they're all we have to make this journey on. We actually go 3,000 meters high on this climb. Now think about it. The highest mountain in Ireland's 1,000 meters high. We were going 3,000 meters high. The altitude, the air changes, all of that affects your breathing. The temperature, by lunchtime, remember we started 5, by lunchtime it was into the 30s, but humidity was in the 90s. About 35 Celsius is 95 Fahrenheit. Yesterday was about 17 in Limerick. That was the temperature yesterday. So we were walking in twice the heat of yesterday for 17 kilometers. It gets worse, okay? We were told to bring with us, each of us, 2 liters of water. And that definitely wasn't enough. Halfway out, we have no water left. We're in trouble. As if that wasn't enough, he stopped at Cannibal's Cave, they called it on the map. And that's where we're going to get water. There was a little drip of water. And that's where we stocked up our water. It was a beautiful, cool cave. And we took refuge there. But I told Candace, don't go too far into that cave. Called Cannibal's Cave. And the water was so sweet at that place. We carried on walking. Candace's boots, and I can show you pictures. Both of them now, the soles came off both boots. There's no sole on them. And we were going up and down mountains over a rock. She's got no soles, and the Zulu, he, I don't know what his name was, but that Zulu took the lace and tied the sole onto the boot. Got pictures of it. Since it gets worse. We're here, we've got more water. Her boots are a mess. So I start thinking, Man, maybe we could take a shortcut. We don't need to do the whole thing. I can take her back. So we're going up this very steep rock face. And there's some ahead of us, a couple of people. Here comes a boulder. Did it hit you or miss you? It hit her on the back. If it would have hit her on her head, I tell you, she was finito. I'm going, man, this thing. So after we got there, I'm going, she could have been killed. So I asked the Zulu, I say, what if someone really gets injured? Do they send a helicopter out? No helicopter. We walk out. Only way. I go, man, we're stuck here. I said, well, could we take a shortcut back? He says, yep. But there's a leopard out there. They're hunting all through those days. There's a black leopard roaming in around there. They had pictures of it. We went sightseeing a bit down. They had this camera up. Wonder why the camera's there. It's to take pictures of the leopard. We got back in quickly. But here, we're in the middle of this walk with all of this. Saints, I'm telling you something about trials and endurance. And then as we climbed the very last mountain called Sugarloaf Mountain. What a name. Her trousers rip. I go, I cannot believe this. But saints, by this point, heat exhaustion is kicking in with me. I've never had it in my entire life. It's the first time I had heat exhaustion. And what I done was I got behind Canis, both to morally show respect, cover her ripped trousers. And I'm walking behind her, but more for myself. I go, I am feeling the heat. I'm not sure I can do this. And in fact, earlier I'd been judging everyone. I went, there was a rather large girl from Australia. I went, man, she's not going to make this trip. She's not going to do it. Here she is at the front, paving the way, and I'm at the back now. And I'm struggling terribly. Since I'm in trouble. The first time I've ever experienced heat exhaustion. And as we're only a few miles from our camp, that big Zulu comes and said, you okay? I said, I'm really suffering. No help, no sympathy, not the whole walk, didn't show one bit of sympathy, that man. But you know what he done? I thought, I'm suffering heat exhaustion. I know he's going to lift me and carry me. I'm sure of it. Do you know what he done? That big Zulu, he went about 50 meters behind me. He was always at the front, now he goes right to the back. He doesn't come near, doesn't send. He walks about 50 meters behind. And he's just walking. We've got a few miles to go. And I'm just walking down cliffy rocks, pathways, going, man, if I stumble, I'm going to wreck myself. And I keep looking over. There's that big Zulu. He looks like a vulture that's just waiting for me to collapse. I go, man, no help. He's just waiting for me to collapse. I was never as glad to get into that base. And we seen the pool. You've got to be clean to go in the pool. I said to Canis, if I sit down, I'll never move for 2 days. I'm desperate for a drink. Desperate to feel cold water at my feet. I think we collapsed for a few hours. Just by that water. Saints, I'm telling you about being a certain type of hearer of the word of God. Yeah. I'm actually telling you, many people hear the word of God. They rejoice in it. They clap, say, we're going to heaven. I believe it all. I want to pay the price. They're not here anymore. They're not here. Temptations and trials and troubles and buffetings of the devil and people hating them and rejection and suffering because of the word of God. And they said, I'm offended. People have got offended with this preacher and they're not here this morning.
Yeah.
All I did was love them. And I tell you what, if a man gets offended with God's word, he will get offended with me. So I don't get discouraged with that. But my heart breaks over them. What is your heart like this morning? And have you received God's word in a way that you're going to endure through until that day when we see our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Let's just stand here. Let's just love our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just worship Him. Let's just pray where you are. Just lift up your hands. Just begin to pray. Just begin to ask Him to work in your heart here this morning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you know that hot sun with a real Christian, it'll make you grow. It's not for your destruction, the temptations, the trials, the buffetings, the rejection. It's going to make a man or a woman.